Welcome to Racetrack, where bold flavor meets quality ingredients. Here, you'll discover aromatic, freshly ground bean-to-cup coffee, or find slices of saucy, cheesy, bubbly, made-in-store pizza perfection. And kick off your morning with fluffy, melty breakfast sandwiches to help get your day going. It's stop on your way, stop in your tracks, taste bud tingling goodness, all in one place. Racetrack, whatever gets you going.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us! This American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. What is up, America? Welcome into it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program, although this is not Todd. Todd taking a day off, taking a little R&R, much needed, too, man. He's been all over the place, super busy, and making it happen on this program each and every day. So yours truly, Andy Hoosier, sitting in, moving the Liberty University studios from Memphis, Tennessee, out to Wichita, Kansas, where I am stationed out here on the Big Talker KQAM, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio program. And it is so great to be with you again. I absolutely love jumping on here and being able to fill in for Todd any opportunity that we get. There is so much going on. Is your brain hurting yet? Because holy cow, mine is just trying to keep up, not even trying to digest and process what the news of the day is, but just trying to get as much of the information of what's actually happening around the world and trying to break all of it down. So that's what we're going to do on the program today, and I want to hear from you because we are going to have a lot of fun. Give us a call today at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. You can also check out the website at toddstarnes.com and see all the great podcasts and everything he's got going on. I believe we also have the video or at least an audio stream on his Facebook page, which you can find at Todd Starnes as well. We are in day number, I don't know, my mind's gone blank now, day number 29, I think, right? Government shutdown. I don't know, it's a blur after a while. And now that we're in day number 29, we are in the second longest government shutdown. I know that you hear this all day long for the last, 29 days. Is there any more information? Well, a little bit, but let's understand why. Why we're seeing the government shutdown, why it's lasting so long, and what could we see moving forward? Because I have an inkling, just speculating here, we could see some pretty craziness coming up this weekend. The first weekend where SNAP benefits of 40 million Americans may not be turned out to the populace, and could we see riots in the streets? And is that what they're banking on? So we'll get to that in just a moment. Also, maybe some opportunity for some healthcare reform conversations. The Republican Party, I got to give you credit, man. Well done. Give you props. So far, we've hung tight on a government shutdown when usually that's our Achilles heel. Democrats, mainstream media coming after us and saying that we are weak-kneed. We need to be bullied. We need to come to them in a quote-unquote bipartisan manner, which is the way they always try to converse with us. Is their way, meaning a bipartisan way, and if we say no, then we're the bad ones, and it's our fault, and everybody's going to die, right?
We're all going to die because of you!
That's the rhetoric that we get every time, and I don't know that it's necessarily working this time. In fact, CNN polls show that Trump's approval rating up 5 points since the government shutdown, up 5 points for Republicans in general, because we've actually held the line, and we're doing something commonsensical. We're doing what we're supposed to do, a clean CR, clean funding bill, just to keep the government open until we finish the appropriations process. So I want to do that in just a moment, but we have some big news today, like the biggest news that you'll ever hear all week long. And that is, of course, the question that people have been asking President Donald Trump is, will he run for a third term? And we got that answer. Yeah, we got it now. I mean, obviously, if we're following the Constitution in any fashion, we know that we're not going to have Donald Trump run for a third term. But the trolling has been epic. Well done, President Donald Trump, on that one. I appreciate that very much. It's been fun to watch. And you have gotten in the head of Gavin Newsom big time when you have so many people, which I thank you for that. And I know Todd thanks you for that as well. Sending Trump 2028 hats to Governor Gavin Newsom in California because he is so angry. and he goes out on podcast shows and he goes out to the media and openly just says, I know he's running for a third term. I know he's going to be a tyrant, and I know that he's not going to step down from office because he's building the new ballroom in the White House, and they keep sending me Trump 2028 hats. So we know they're serious, because Democrats have lost all sense of humor unless it's bashing President Donald Trump. So we officially got the answer when Trump has openly said, according to Breitbart News Today, as of this morning, that it's very clear that he's unable to run for a third term. Oh my gosh!
Wow!
But that's the headline for the day. So, biggest news of the day, we have now confirmed that Donald Trump openly acknowledges the Constitution and cannot run for a third term. Something you and I already knew. But apparently the other side needed that reaffirmation, because they have been trolled to such a level. Donald Trump is in their heads so freely that that's all they've been able to talk about. Who's running in 2028 for the Democrats, which I think we can get to later in the program, because that will be a blast. And will Donald Trump run for a third term in office? Big news. All right. Now, that being said, the headline of the day today, obviously, government shutdown continuing. It may be somewhat boring, but it is interesting on how long this is going and where this could end, because this is not going to bode well for the Democrat Progressive Party at the end of the day, when they have created insanely absurd, outlandish demands for them to come to the table and have this negotiation. There's nothing to negotiate, and I think that we're very clear on that. I applaud both Speaker Mike Johnson and Senator John Thune for that, with the fact that they've been very clear. There's nothing to negotiate. We're not putting back in $1.5 trillion in spending. We're not going to refund public broadcasting, which is $400 to $500 million of that $1.5 trillion in additional spending. We're not going to put in more subsidies for Obamacare. We're not going to give illegal aliens and undocumented workers health care coverage like we were during the COVID pandemic. It's not going to happen. And that's what they want. That's what they're angry about. Now, today, going on right now as we speak, there are some Senate hearings on judicial nominees. And I say that very loosely, because if you tune in and listen to it live, they're not talking about judicial nominees in the Senate. They're not. They're talking about the government shutdown. They're talking about pet projects. They're talking about everything but actual the judicial nominees that they're supposed to be on the floor discussing right now. So it's really irrelevant. Chuck Schumer finally showing up to the table. Like, we have not heard from this guy in a while, and I'm not quite sure why. I mean, the government shutdown's hung up on the U.S. Senate passing the continuing resolution in the Senate by 60 votes. We have 53. We have a couple of Democrats that are lingering out there. So we still need a few more, but it's a discussion in the Senate, not in the House. I'm tired of seeing Mike Johnson. I'm tired of seeing Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries is completely irrelevant in this conversation. I want to hear from Chuck Schumer. And he finally spoke yesterday. And he spoke today, just a little while ago, on the Senate floor regarding the, I don't know, whatever he was going on about, to Donald Trump and his world tour and how bad it's failing. We'll play some of that in just a bit. But he's finally talking. After 29 days, we very rarely hear Chuck Schumer. We always hear Hakeem Jeffries. So, Chuck Schumer, welcome back to the party, buddy.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, that's where we're at. But right now we have John Thune, that yesterday held a press conference specifically for the government shutdown and said this.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's not very often that I get a chance to say this, but I agree with the AFGE, American Federation of Government Employees, who largest government employees union, who said earlier this week that the Democrats need to reopen the government and start getting federal employees paid again. And on that point, they are absolutely right. This is going to get worse as the week goes on, as time goes on. You've already seen the impacts. Federal workers missed their first paycheck last Friday. ATC employees are going to miss their paycheck today. If by the end of the week this isn't over, there are going to be 40 million Americans who are not going to have food assistance. And you add on top of that Head Start and telehealth. There are people who are getting their medical appointments canceled because of the shutdown. And it needs to end. It just needs to end.
So where does this go from here? We are now 29 days into the shutdown. Democrats are saying that they want health care to be re-included, like the prior, like during COVID subsidies, no work requirements whatsoever. We don't want to kick people off it by having to work 20 hours a week. Oh, the travesty that you have to work 20 hours a week in order to qualify for government health care and actually contribute to the system in some aspect. That includes, by the way, 20 hours of community service. Like, you don't even have to go find a job for 20 hours. You can do community service 20 hours a week, and you qualify for the government health care. All of these stipulations that we had prior to COVID, we gave government more power with more universal health care during COVID, and now we want to go back to prior to COVID, and they're losing their minds. That's all this is. And Democrats say we need to take care of people because we're here for the people. We are the party that care for the working class. We're the people that care for the less fortunate so much that we're willing to watch 40 million people end their SNAP benefits at the end of the week because we won't open up the government without you meeting our demands in a bipartisan way. The narcissism is at an insanely new level right now for the Democrat Party, and I don't know how you come back from that, because what's going to happen this weekend when 40 million people do not receive their beginning of the month SNAP benefits for food stamps? There are going to be riots in the streets. There are going to be people losing their minds without being able to get food. And some of them need it. Some of them are on disability. Some of them, you know, for whatever reason, need a little bit of some supplemental assistance. I get it. We're not here to be completely heartless. At the same time, there are a lot of them. I have been seeing a lot of videos on social media, TikTok especially, people that are very angry, saying that if you don't give me my food stamps, I will just walk in, fill up my cart at a grocery store, and walk out without paying because I demand to have my free food, and you can't take that away. There are other people that are saying, hey, you taxpayer, you need to cough up. You need to pay for me because I am the boss of you. The government helps me, and you are the taxpayer that's supposed to subsidize my food and take care of my children and feed my children. Get your you-know-what back up there and actually pay for my food. And for them, I can say, you know, here's the double-barreled middle finger because I don't really care, and you guys can figure it out yourself. There's a lot of reform that we need to happen in this food stamp program. And by the way, can we just acknowledge that we need to seriously address the fact that there are 40 million people on food stamp programs? Let's cover that when we come back in a minute. I want your thoughts. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. Where are we at with this government shutdown, and how does it end? We have Senator John Kennedy that's openly said he doesn't believe the shutdown will go. Government shutdown will go at least until Thanksgiving. We have other Republicans that say that it could go just until this week or through next week after the election. We have Democrats that have openly said that they want to keep it through the election because somehow this is an election campaign point. Let's put the strain on you, which they've openly said in interviews. We want to punish you. We don't like to punish you, but that's the leverage that we have, is to punish you to get Republicans on board to make us look really good. They've also said that they're going to continue it on as long as the public opinion polls show that the American people are majoritively on their side, which they're not when Donald Trump has got a 5-point bump over the past month. So where does this end? How does this end? And what's the future of the party look like if they have no exit route? I honestly thought they were going to wrap up the exit route after the No Kings protest a week or two ago, when they said, well, we have to be in session because Donald Trump is a tyrant and he is a king and we need to fight him. And the only way we can do that is if Congress is in session, to where we can stop all of his cutting of federal employees and cutting of the social programs and cutting of certain agencies or whatever they want to say, that we have to be in session to make that happen. I figured that would be their exit route there, and it wasn't. And they kind of lost the opportunity. So I don't know where they go from here. And we'll get your thoughts on that coming up right after the break. 901-260-5926. My name's Andy Hoosier, filling in for the great Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. Back after this.
Nearly 2 years ago, terrorists murdered over 1,200 innocent Israelis and took 250 hostages. Today, the cries of the dead and dying seem drowned out by shouts of anti-Semitic hatred. The most brutal attack on Jewish people since the Holocaust is already fading from memory. Yet as the world looks away, a light breaks through the darkness. Christians are speaking out in love and support for Israel. United in faith, they will boldly stand with Israel this October, joining a growing movement, the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews, Flags of Fellowship. Flags of Fellowship unites churches all over America, planting over 1 million Israeli flags across our land. Together, we'll combat hate and the scourge of anti-Semitism one flag at a time. And through our prayers, we can save lives, bring hope, and be a part of seeing a brighter future unfold. This October, please join this historic movement by donating your flag today. Visit ifcj.org. That's ifcj.org.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes today. We love you, Todd, and look forward to getting you back on the radio tomorrow. Always a pleasure to be able to fill in for him. 901-260-5926 if you want to jump in on the conversation. How does this end? Because I don't see any end in sight right now. How long could it go? Will it just be a political issue for the election season on Tuesday next week? Will it go much deeper than that? Will they really die on the hill of saying, we want universal health care and we want it right now? Not in a policy discussion in committee, not during the appropriations process, which we got to be honest, we were actually doing relatively decent in the appropriations process this year. Right? For those that don't know, we have the 12 appropriation bills. That's how we pass our federal budget. And I say federal budget loosely because that's only about 25% of the actual federal budget. The other 75% is the social programs, the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, SNAP, all the stuff that grows exponentially. We don't touch it. It's part of what they call the mandatory spending category. And that's what's bankrupting the nation at 75% of the entire federal budget. The 25% that we haggle over and we throw a fit about and Democrats say that people are going to die in the streets if we don't pass all their garbage is the appropriations. And usually when we get to this point, at least for the last couple decades, we pass a CR up until about December that has the, and I say CR again, with normal spending and then some on top of it. Then we do another short-term one until about March with more spending on top of that. And then we just do another one for 6 months to finish off the year. And we're like, we'll just scrap it and we'll just start over with the entire process for next year. And that's been the normal process since about the Obama administration. This year, we were asking for a 7-week CR, no additional spending, no partisan investments, no one side or the other, just straight funding for 7 weeks until we finish it because we're almost done. And if we got that done 7 weeks late, that would have been a record compared to what we've seen in the past decade or so. So that being said, had to screw up the process, throw the wrench in the system, which is what Democrats have been doing, and it's really unfortunate. So I don't know where we see the end to this and the light at the end of the tunnel for the shutdown, because Democrats have said we don't want to discuss this in committee where policy decisions are made. We want it, and we want it right now, like the children that like to throw temper tantrums. Hakeem Jeffries, why he's even relevant at all, I'm not quite sure. Walking the hallways of Congress, looking very busy, looking very authoritative, which I don't quite get either because of how irrelevant he actually is as a minority party in the House of Representatives that already passed this bill with a horde of mediaites that were walking around him as he was talking about, I don't even understand what.
I'm a Democrat. We believe in a strong floor and no ceiling. That in America, when you work hard and play by the rules, you should be able to achieve any level of success. There should be no ceiling to what you can achieve. Work hard, play by the rules. At the same period of time, it's got to always be a strong floor. That's anchored in things like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, veterans benefits, and nutritional assistance. And unfortunately, Republicans are trying to destroy that floor and hurt everyday Americans.
Okay, so first, before we talk about what he actually said, it's so weird. And you need to watch the video because it almost seems like, do you remember, you know, watching like the docudramas and all the different TV programs where they're, you know, they're in a very heated scene of the TV program and they're walking the halls and they turn the corner and the camera follows them as they're down below in front of them watching them walk and they're in this really heated conversation as they're walking down the hallway. That's the scene that they're the media is trying to depict here. He's walking the hall looking like he's got somewhere to go, super authoritative, and the media is just following behind with their phones, hopefully catching a little bit of his audio. And then he starts going off about this foundation, and Republicans are destroying this foundation. And the foundation is that we need a nice floor for everybody with all these safety nets and social programs and how great the government is and all these great goodies and giveaways and handouts and everything. And all of this is wonderful, and then the top is endless. There's no ceiling. You can make as much as you want. Unless, of course, you're Zohran Mamdani and you believe that you should not never be a billionaire and we should ban billionaires in this nation with the communist revolution that we're about to see in the city of New York, which is really unfortunate with the election next week. But Democrats haven't quite gotten their talking points down yet. But the new talking point, the trigger words that they have that you're going to start seeing floating in the media, floating on mainstream media, floating on social media, is going to be this whole floor. We want the floor secure, and Republicans are trying to take that away. And is that true? No. No, it's really not. But we have to have a serious conversation about the 40-plus million people on food stamps, because that is absolutely insane. That is almost, to put that into perspective, that is almost an entire voter base of a party, if you know what I mean. presidential races, you see anywhere between 40 to 60 million voters for a presidential candidate. That's almost an entire base of a political party and for a presidential race. Imagine what that's going to look like if you get 50, 60 million people on those food stamps and social programs, and then anybody tries to talk about reforming them. You're not going to go very well. We'll continue this conversation when we come back around the corner. Your thoughts on it as well. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest three-in-one sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98 and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a six-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes Radio program. Andy Hoosier filling in for the Todd Starnes Radio show today. You can find Todd at ToddStarnes.com. If you want to find his books, you want to find all his writings, all his great stuff that he has going on. And we always appreciate letting us sit in for the seat when he is out moving that Liberty University Studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, my home flagship station at KQAM, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes Radio show. If you want my information, you can find me at HoosierReason.com. That's HoosierReason.com. You can find my information, and we appreciate you checking it out. Government shutdown, how's it going to end, and how will the Democrats be able to respond to this one? The rhetoric continues, by the way, and we have a caller we're going to get to. The rhetoric continues. Senator Murphy on the media recently and saying that this is nothing more than the authoritarianism of Donald Trump.
Democrats.
Oops, that's the wrong one. Let's try clip number this one.
Up the parts of the government.
Let's try that again one more time.
President Trump is refusing to negotiate is because he likes the fact that the government is closed, because he thinks he can exercise king-like powers. He can open up the parts of the government that he wants. He can pay the employees who are loyal to him. I mean, this is a leader who is trying to transition our government from a democracy to something much closer to a totalitarian state. And so this is part of what happens in totalitarian states. The leader, the regime, only decides what things get funded and what don't, often in coordination with their oligarch friends.
This is so insane, man. So I thought the rhetoric, first off, would calm down after the whole, I don't know, assassination of a political opponent because you call him a Nazi and a fascist and everything else. Obviously, that's not the case. They've ramped up the rhetoric. Others have said that we are now in the middle. Not sure if you're aware of this or not. We are in the middle of an authoritarian transition as we speak right now. It's not coming in the future. Donald Trump's not going to do it in some distant time. It's happening as we speak right now by elected officials who hold the power of the person Congress, who can vote to open up the government, say that Donald Trump has all the power to decide on whether the government's going to be open and what's going to be funded. Kind of crazy. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Daytona Beach, Florida, and let's go to Gary. Gary, how are you, my friend?
Hey, welcome, Andy. Two quick points, and love to get your take on it. When the first day of the shutdown, I told my wife, I go, well, this is going to go for a long, long time. And she, I mean, how do you figure? And I said, well, it has to go past the two elections. It has to go past, right past Virginia and right past New Jersey. Yeah. And I said, and the second reason is they have to be able, they're always looking for tags for Trump. It has to be he's the president to oversee the longest shutdown in history. So they have to at least get those two done. And the reason why we don't see Schumer, like you were mentioning, is he has to hook up with AOC or the squad to find out what he has to say. So, it, I mean,
isn't that weird, Gary? Because the whole there's a theory that Chuck Schumer is doing this to try and flex his muscle to show that he has still some political authority, because there's a concern about AOC challenging him for that Senate seat. So if he's using this as a political power tool, number one, that's really insane, because we have a short-term memory in politics with how quickly things go, and that race isn't for another 3 years, so I don't know how this is going to help him in that sense. But trying to flex his muscle, you would think he would be the one out there doing the press conference every day, but instead we barely hear him. Hakeem Jeffries is the one that does the press conferences every day. It's just a weird situation to me.
Plus, they anticipated Donald Trump, and I'm so happy. They anticipated him constantly being on air or wherever he's traveling in Asia, talking about this, and he's doing it just right. I mean, he hasn't gone into his Trump mode over it, and he comments on it, and that's it. So, you know, I'd like to get, and I'm really proud of that part. But, hey, great show, and welcome.
Hey, well, thank you, Gary. I appreciate that. I always love filling in for Todd, and it's always fun to talk to his listeners. So thank you very much, my friend. I completely agree with you that they are trying to make this. It's all about the records. It's all about the labels. And it's all about trying to make Donald Trump have the longest shutdowns. And we already have the number one longest shutdown under Trump in the first administration, 1.0, with, I believe, 35 days. So we're coming up on that relatively quickly, if that is the case. In regards to the election, I also agree. They've said that they want to use this for a political advantage in the election, but what does that gain them? That's what I don't understand. I don't understand how the election will gain them popularity by having the government shut down and blaming Donald Trump. Right now, it's pretty even, according to the polls that we've seen on who blames Republicans, who blames Democrats. And now, as we mentioned with even John Thune that spoke yesterday at the press conference, that said that now even the largest federal employee union is calling for a clean CR to be passed. They didn't say support Donald Trump, which was interesting. They worded it very interestingly. They didn't say support Republicans. They didn't say support the Republican bill. They said support a clean CR, which is the Republican bill, but they couldn't come out and publicly say that. But when you have the union, and the union of the largest federal workers employee union going against Democrats and calling them out, essentially, then you know you're losing your base. And how does it benefit them when you get people angry of saying, hey, we support the party of social programs and what Hakeem Jeffrey calls this foundation or this platform, this walking ground or whatever he tried to call it, and say, we're going to take all of that away and we're going to shut down the government, and you're not going to get benefits. Go ahead and vote for us. Like, it doesn't resonate. I get if you're, I guess, really angry with Donald Trump, that would work to some degree. But the people that are already still upset with Donald Trump are still already upset with Donald Trump. The people that like Donald Trump have not gone anywhere. And in fact, again, he's gained popularity throughout this. So it's really not benefiting them the way that they thought it was going to. But maybe it's just the authoritarian thing with, again, Senator Murphy just saying that he's an authoritarian doing this transition right now.
I mean, this is a leader that's trying to transition our government from a democracy to something much closer to a totalitarian state. And so this is part of what happens in totalitarian states.
I guess if that's what you want to go for, then all the power to you. On the same front, what is this entire argument about? It's about healthcare, right? That's what they say, at least. And they've changed their tone a few times. It's about Republicans wanting to keep the Epstein files from coming out, which is really silly. That's in the grand jury. Republicans have nothing to do with that. Then they said it was about Donald Trump being a cult leader and just following Donald Trump. Again, they give him way too much power. The people that are out there protesting and chanting No Kings gives Donald Trump way too much power, because he's irrelevant in the situation. He can talk about it. He can advocate for Congress to reopen. Congress has the power of the purse. And Democrats are openly giving up their own power as members of Congress to open up the government, to blame Donald Trump for not opening up the government and not funding things the way that we need to fund. Now, Donald Trump already was able to secure a private donation of $130 million to fund veterans and fund the military and military workers, active military members, for the government shutdown, at least for the next month. He wasn't able to secure the funding for SNAP programs. And now Democrats, according to what they're saying on the floor happening right now with these judicial, and I say this in air quotes, judicial nominee hearings, that they're not actually talking about judicial nominees at all, has said that Donald Trump should move funds in the USDA to cover the SNAP benefits for the month, which all you have to do is open up the government. Why would you do that? But now we have the healthcare debate, and I'm curious on what side is going to crack first. because there have been a few outliers among the Republicans, Marjorie Taylor Greene being one of them. And I got to be honest, I've been a fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I like majoritively what she does. I like the fact that she is an independent thinker for the most part. And she's been a staunch Trump supporter. But she's starting to break a little bit away from the Republican Party and saying, no, I don't want illegal aliens to get health care, but we do need to address the subsidies of Obamacare because premiums are going to triple by the end of the year if we don't actually address this issue. And while I understand that issue, I would like to respond to Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene and other Republicans that are starting to balk at this thing and say, wait a second, health care costs could be rising. What are we going to do about this issue? Because it's going to look bad for Republicans. Wouldn't this be the prime opportunity for us to reform Obamacare? Or even better yet, repeal Obamacare. We've tried to do it before, and if we're getting rid of subsidies, which remember, Barack Obama even said during his administration when we passed Obamacare in the first place that 90% reimbursement of statewide Medicaid programs, which are state programs are very loosely termed here. If the government's fund, the federal government is funding a program that's run at a statewide level, it's not a state program. It's just being managed at the state level as a federal program now. But he openly said then that it will be unsustainable to reimburse states at a 90% level. And that's what we're doing. We're starting to roll that back. And hey, states, you need to have work requirements back in place again. We need to go back to prior COVID-19. And we cannot reimburse you at a 90% rate. You need to start figuring out how to fund it on your own, even just a little bit more. And boy, oh boy, people are losing their minds again.
We're all going to die because of you!
And with someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who doesn't like Obamacare, wasn't in there when Obamacare got voted in under Obama's administration, should be out there saying, hey, we have a prime opportunity. Now, I'm an eternal optimist, and I always look at the bright side of things, and when things start crashing down, that seems to be the prime opportunity for reform. And if Obamacare isn't working because the only way to keep prices down is if you pay for it with the taxpayer money and subsidies to cover the program's expenses that are ridiculously expensive, this would be the prime opportunity when those start going away to say, hey, let's find some alternatives. Marjorie Taylor Greene made a post on her X account just a day or two ago, I want to say, or maybe it was this morning, that said Republicans aren't giving me any options or discussion of what the alternatives are for Obamacare. And we need to see if we can't get her on the program at some point with Todd Starnes, if Todd's talked to her before. But the response should be, what needs to be the plan? The plan, honestly, is get government out of health care. That's like, it needs to be one sentence. Get government out of health care, period, end of story. Stop the subsidizing of big pharma. Stop the subsidizing of the insurance industry. And allow as many insurance companies to start up. Make sure there's no monopolies. Have 20 different insurance companies competing in a market all over the country and privatize everything again. Lower the prices, increase the quality, and give you as the consumer, as the American people, the option to find the right plan for you, to do an a la carte style, to do a family plan, to do business plans, to do whatever, and or to do the direct primary care, which if you don't know what that is, it's like paying a clinic a membership on a monthly basis, and that way you don't even need insurance to some degree. Or at least for just the minor issues, you can just go into your basic family physician and do your thing. Like, that would be the option. That's the plan. Get government out of healthcare. And the issue will resolve itself. I know the other side, they're probably screaming bloody murder right now, which I would be more than happy to hear from you at 901-260-5926. You're more than happy to tell me about why that's a bad plan.
And private, for-profit healthcare is horrible.
It's really not. And just like anything else, we will find the Laffer curve of the most amount of people covered with the best quality of product in the private sector without the government screwing up the process. Now, is that going to happen anytime soon? Probably not. It's a pipe dream. But by golly, we can hope and dream, right? Yeah, let's get your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. Marjorie Taylor Greene, is she going to be the one to stray from the Republicans and President Donald Trump because she's concerned about premiums going up, but yet not advocating for the repealing of Obamacare, the reforming of Obamacare, the downgrading of Obamacare, when we have the opportunity to ram it through, hit the nuclear option button in Congress, and actually make it happen? I want to tell you about my friends over at Patriot Mobile. The First Amendment's under attack, but did you know that you can help protect your constitutional rights by just using your cell phone? These guys are great partners with Todd on the Todd Starnes Radio program here, as Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They're always supporting freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and that's why we're proud to partner with them right here on this show. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. That means you get the same coverage that you've been accustomed to and without funding any agenda on the left side of the aisle. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, like Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and so many more. They have 100% U.S.-based customer service teams that make it switching easy. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can even upgrade to one of theirs. One of my favorites with Patriot Mobile's personal story is the UpPhone. It's the unplugged one, their Libertas or Liberty operating system. It keeps all your private data from being collected. I love that thing. It's awesome. Very popular. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Again, PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. And when you do and use that promo code Todd, you get free activation. Use promo code Todd. Switch today at PatriotMobile.com/Todd. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome back into the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in for Todd Starnes today on a Wednesday. There's plenty to cover right now. Government shutdown still happening. Doesn't sound like it's going to end anytime soon. And major opportunities for reforms. Now, that being said, the Trump administration has already cut like 4,000 federal employees from a few different agencies and departments, which courts are now, even though we voted against, the Supreme Court openly said you cannot do nationwide injunctions from federal courts around the nation. That doesn't happen. You're not allowed to do it. Only us as the Supreme Court is allowed to actually make a decision for the country. Everybody else, you're only stuck within your district. Stay in your own lane, bro. But apparently that is not what some of them are doing. A judge out of California has now said that the Trump administration is not allowed to lay off certain federal workers as he continues to do so in the sum of near 4,000 over the past month alone in the downsizing of the federal government. And I have a theory. I could be wrong, but I have a theory on this issue on the reason why the Senate, which I guess does have the option to hit the nuclear button and go nuclear option and just get rid of the 60-vote majority. They don't want to do that. We shouldn't have to do that. But I guess they technically could to some level at some point. And my theory is that Donald Trump is just kind of going along, cutting, slashing as he goes, because right now Democrats can't stop him. They're not in session. Congress can't do anything about it. So they're just kind of going along with the idea. And Donald Trump's just going to keep doing his own thing. And if they don't like it, they can get back in session and try to stop him. But until then, he's just going to keep slashing, and they cannot rely on the federal judges to make these nationwide injunctions because that's not allowed. And they openly said that's not allowed, and they're very angry about that. They are so mad.
Oh!
But that's all right. That's what they're doing for sure. Hey, by the way, we are following the recovery efforts after the Category 2 storm that hit Jamaica and hit Cuba, and they're recovering right now. Our thoughts and prayers for everybody down there. According to what was a CBS News, they say that now it's just hitting Cuba after hitting Jamaica, and it's, quote, extremely dangerous. It could make its way up, and we could see it down in the Florida area. So anybody in those regions, be cautious, be careful. And so far they have found, this just a few minutes ago from the BBC, 20 people have been confirmed dead right now in Haiti as Jamaicans are still trying to do their recovery. So this is, I guess, this time of year. I come from Kansas. This is about the time where we start seeing tornadoes. And I know with Todd being in Tennessee and Memphis, do you guys get tornadoes out there as well? I think you guys are partly in Tornado Alley. So that's it's that time of year. The transition's beginning now. And I got to admit, being a warm-blooded, I'm warm-blooded because I like the cool weather. I enjoy the cold weather. And in fact, I have teased multiple times about moving up to Alaska because the Kansas heat drives me nuts, man. I can't do 90 degrees. I can't do triple digit weather. I want my highs to be at like 50 degrees and my lows at nighttime to be like negative 20. I am happy with that. When we had a super deep freeze in Kansas a couple of years ago, it was like negative 20 overnight. I would go outside. I would sit there in the quiet. I would do a little meditation and prayer. I would sit there and just enjoy the cold because it felt so good. It makes you feel alive. It makes you feel alert. It makes you just be aware. It just wakes you up in the morning, and it's fantastic. That 90 degrees, man, it hits you and you just, ugh. And then, of course, all the cow farms around here makes it smell as well. So nonetheless, the issues with the hurricane, thoughts and prayers to everybody. Hopefully it avoids. I don't know if it's supposed to hit the East Coast or not, but it's that time of year and it's very dangerous. And again, coincidentally, the government shut down, which means now we're going to have concerns about funding for FEMA or any type of response or recovery efforts that could be happening from the federal government. And they're going to use the argument, again, Democrats never let a crisis go to waste, right? They're going to use the argument of, well, the government shut down. We can't fund these issues. We can't fund the recovery efforts. Donald Trump's an evil tyrant. Go ahead and blame Donald Trump because that's their memo. We already called it. So you don't have to do those headlines on the mainstream media. We already put it out there for you. We already know your next game. We already know what you're going to do next. It's a game of chess, and we are 5 steps ahead of you. Donald Trump's 20 steps ahead of you because that's just the way that we roll. Hour number one in the books is the Todd Sarnes radio program. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
Looking for an exceptional driving experience? Find it behind the wheel of a Mercedes-Benz SUV. Experience the power, precision, and intelligence of an iconic Mercedes-Benz SUV at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer today.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Indeed it is. What is up, my friends? It is the Todd Starnes radio program. It is not Todd Starnes. He is out for the day today. I think that he is recovering from the wild shenanigans that he had with a birthday party yesterday. I found out it's Todd Starnes' birthday yesterday. Happy belated birthday, Todd Starnes. We love you to death, man, and appreciate you letting us jump on here to cover the program for you today. My name is Andy Hoosier. We are moving the Liberty University Studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, at the Big Talker KQAM, where I hail from with my flagship station, as we are a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio show, and it's such an honor to fill in for him any opportunity that we get. And especially with him taking some time off. So we got you covered for the day today. Give us a call. We want to hear from you. There is plenty to talk about. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. As we covered the government shutdown for a bit, but it is getting under the skin of the left-wing progressive Democrats that while the shutdown's happening, and everybody's trying to blame Donald Trump for it, even though he's irrelevant. He's the executive branch. He has nothing to do with actually passing a budget to keep the government funded. That would be a job for Congress. And Democrats are saying, let's come to the table. Let's negotiate. Let's hash this out. There's nothing to negotiate. It's a clean funding bill. If you want policy changes, do it in the appropriate times for policy, which would be in the committees and on the Senate and the House floors. That's not happening from Democrats because they're using it for a political tool, which is really unfortunate. But what's really getting them under the skin more than anything else is the fact that while this is happening, Donald Trump is wrapping up now his Asia tour. He's been traveling to multiple different countries, trying to renegotiate with the nation of China on certain tariffs, which has led to, by the way, some purchasing of soybeans and the agricultural products. That's big news for farmers. We'll cover that in just a little bit. But the tour through the Asian countries has been quite beneficial. Now, Chuck Schumer, on the other hand, says it has not been beneficial. He's not very happy about that. He was on the floor just a little bit ago today on Wednesday talking about the lack of anything that Donald Trump's actually doing.
Communist Party. And most importantly, to help Americans struggling with high costs here at home. But so far, his trip has been a total dud.
A dud?
By the end of his trip to Asia, could be the case that we somehow have higher tariffs on our neighbor Canada than we do on our biggest rival, China. How on earth does that make sense? In fact, the biggest news out of this trip is that Donald Trump seems to finally realize that he can't run for a third term.
Hold on. Okay. I got to stop right there for a second, because if you missed the last hour, there was a headline from Breitbart News that Donald Trump openly said this morning when interviewed about it, because that's been, it's not about policy. It's not about the winning. It's not about the ceasefires. It's not about the trade negotiations. It's not about peace around the world. Now,
Donald Trump, are you going to run for a third term?
And he said, well, obviously, dummy, he didn't say that part, we inserted that one, but obviously, dummy, the Constitution does not allow me to do that, so I'm not running for a third term. And that was the headline in the news today, and Chuck Schumer obviously had to mention that on the Senate floor this morning.
That just goes to show you how fruitless this trip has been. American families are facing enough problems right now with the nightmare of open enrollment, the pain of higher groceries, the prices of everything from cars to home appliances to electricity skyrocketing. The last thing they want is to turn on the TV and see Trump being gifted a golden crown and then signing a deal with China that royally screws over America.
All right, so that's Chuck Schumer earlier today. Yeah, he finally did speak. He has been pretty much MIA. He's popped his head up a few times throughout this 29-day government shutdown when he's the one that's supposed to be leading the Senate, because Hakeem Jeffries, being the spokesperson for it, has been irrelevant. So, Chuck, welcome back, buddy.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah, I'm glad you're actually finally joining the conversation, but Donald Trump has been doing his Asia tour, and what are we gaining from it? Well, number one, as you know, China, we've pretty much stopped doing a lot of trading with China on multiple different products, especially those in the farming and agricultural community. I live in Kansas. I hear about that a lot, and it's really important. Soybean harvesting just wrapped up. For those that don't know, we're going to break this down in layman terms. Soybean harvesting just wrapped up. Farmers got the soybeans out of the ground. They sold them to the co-ops, but they sold them at some pretty insane rates right now because China, who usually buys 60 to 70% of our soybeans, has not been buying the soybeans at all because of the ongoing battle of trade and tariffs with the United States and China. So this Asia tour has been to solidify relationships, has been to create new trade deals, and it's been working. China admitted that they're now planning on doing a massive purchase of soybeans. And guess what? It got the markets back on track. It got the farmers happy again. There's more demand, which means the prices are going back up because in the whole supply-demand thing, the demand's higher, the supply's there, prices are going back up, and farmers can actually make a little bit of profit on this thing again. And that's a big win. Then he visited Japan a couple of days ago, which, can I admit, that meeting with Japan, probably the coolest thing ever, as he gave a credit to the new prime minister of Japan for being the first woman and a strong conservative and supporter of Donald Trump.
I have always had a great love of Japan and a great respect of Japan. And I will say that this will be a relationship that will be stronger than ever before. And I look forward to working with you. And on behalf of our country, I want to just let you know, anytime you have any question, any doubt, anything you want, any favors you need, anything I can do to help Japan, we will be there. We are an ally at the strongest level, and it's a great honor to be with you, especially so early in what will be, I think, one of the greatest prime ministers. I think you will be one of the great. Everything I know from Shinzo and others, you will be one of the great prime ministers. I'd also like to congratulate you on being the first woman prime minister. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, and I want to congratulate you on that. I think that has to be called out. And you're going to do a fantastic job, and we're going to have a fantastic relationship. Thank you very much.
I got to be honest, I'm really excited about this relationship, not only because she's a staunchly conservative prime minister, she's the first woman prime minister for the nation of Japan, but also, I don't know if you know this or not, of useless information from Andy, is that she's also a drummer to a metal band in Japan. That's
say what?
That's really cool. That's super metal, bro.
That is the most metal thing I ever heard in my whole life.
Yeah, she's actually a drummer for a rock and roll metal band in Japan. So, yeah, the rebels that are taking over in the conservative movement, both here in the nation, because we are the true rebels fighting against the government, fighting against the establishment, fighting against the deep state, and that's what they're doing in Japan as well. So that was stop number whatever it was. I'm not sure if that was the first stop or not, but that was one of the stops that President Trump has made. Now he's in South Korea, and did you catch something that Chuck Schumer said in that speech while he was going on his tirade against Donald Trump, where he said that now he's been gifted something in particular?
Open enrollment, the pain of higher groceries, the prices of everything from cars to home appliances to electricity skyrocketing. The last thing they want is to turn on the TV and see Trump being gifted a golden crown and then signing a deal with China that royally screws over Americans.
All right, so he got gifted something that they are not happy about. There is a picture of this on Drudge, and I do not encourage you going to Judge Report, because Judge Report has been absolutely insane and hardcore left-wing, and they absolutely despise Donald Trump. But if you go to Judge Report and look at that headline, there is a golden crown that has been gifted to President Donald Trump, a massive crown. This thing looks huge. And they have South Korea, where he's at right now, and actually landed in, and I think spoke to this morning with the nation of South Korea, and said that we got a great relationship with them. He spoke earlier today.
The Republic of Korea is a cherished American friend and a close ally. And as we can see in this beautiful city, it's truly one of the most remarkable nations
anywhere on Earth. Here in this peninsula, the people of South Korea have forged a miracle of economic development like you rarely see.
So in that was earlier this morning. South Korea giving him a massive replica of a foot-tall crown that's labeled in gold, along with a different jewelry as well, and different golden necklaces and all this other stuff, as a gift to President Donald Trump. Now, the trolling that Donald Trump has done has been, I mean, next level. During this government shutdown, we've seen the artificial intelligence videos, the AI of Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, and poking fun at them. And we saw the, you know, the Reaper that came in and, you know, cut off all the federal jobs. It's been epic to watch all this happen. The No Kings protest that happened just a week or two ago, people literally thinking that he's an authoritarian, that he's a king, that he's a tyrant, that he's a monarch, even though he's not, and he's never openly said that he is, and he's never even tried to expand that power to make that what he is. But that's what they claim him to be. Now has been gifted a crown. And I cannot wait to see Donald Trump come back into the White House and wear the crown. I mean, I don't know if he will. But if he does, this will be the greatest troll to ever exist of any elected official, any world leader of any time, to wear this foot-tall golden crown and all the bedazzled jewels that South Korea has given him. This is the epic troll, and the Democrats are fuming. Normally, here's what happens, and this is why they always get the leverage. Normally, there's not a lot going on in the news cycle, right? And that's when Democrats can shut down the government. They're on the mainstream media. The mainstream media tosses them the softball question, and they say, yeah, Republicans aren't working with Democrats, and therefore we're not working in a bipartisan manner. Republicans are just refusing to go along with us, meaning support all of our programs and nothing of yours in a bipartisan way. And they dominate the narrative, and the pressure gets put on Republicans to do something. That's not the situation of this government shutdown, and they have not been able to gain the traction in the media with the attention that they usually get. In fact, they've had very little attention, which is why this isn't quite working. And to just dig it in and just twist the knife, Donald Trump gets a crown now in South Korea. Now, what does this all mean for policy-wise? We're, again, building these relationships, and we're creating trade deals. We are going to make South Korea so prosperous that North Korea cannot ignore it any longer. And with Kim Jong-un that's still there, that's still threatening, as Donald Trump used to call him in the last administration, little rocket man, and he actually had a decent relationship with him to lay them off of all the threats and the ridiculous things that they say, that Donald Trump has a prime opportunity here. And Donald Trump has openly said that he has a prime opportunity and is going to lay a deal at Kim Jong-un's feet that he cannot ignore, that is going to be very beneficial to North Korea in order to bring them to the table. Now, again, to the media, that's going to say, well, Donald Trump's a tyrant and he's working with other tyrants and dictators. Or you can be an average, normal human being and we can say, let's have a relationship and a conversation with people that we don't agree with. So that way things don't get mislabeled or mistranslated or misunderstood. And we start a world conflict that we don't need to be in, because Donald Trump has been the best president in the last decade, centuries at least, of actually not creating conflict. And not creating war. And in fact, he's been able to stop, what, 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 different conflicts around the world now, already being nominated for next year's Nobel Peace Prize. Imagine what would happen if we can get North Korea to come back to the table, to start buying American products, to actually instill some capitalism into their markets, and have them start losing power in their dictatorial tyranny that has left all their people completely destitute. How cool would that be? So while Chuck Schumer tries to belittle Donald Trump's tour of Asia, we're re-strengthening America. We're re-showing it is, they say it's the Donald Trump Asia tour. I've been calling it the America's Back tour, because we are back, baby. It is like the, it's like NSYNC or the Backstreet Boys after their 20-year hiatus, where they're back on the scene selling out these different big venues. That, baby, we're back, and that's what we are. The Backstreet's back. That's what Donald Trump's doing. America's back. We are strong, and we're going to flex our muscle. We're going to make better trade deals. We're going to bring capitalism to the world, and that's what we're really excited about. Do you agree? I want to hear from you. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. The America's Back tour, Donald Trump wrapping up his Asia tour with South Korea this morning, getting a crown. How badly do you think the other side's going to lose their mind over the fact that now he's coming back with a foot-tall golden crown and bedazzled jewels to wear as president? of the United States. Andy Hoosier filling in for Todd Starnes on the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here.
Your favorite band live, First Chord Hits. That's a thrill. But for the accident attorneys at Farrah & Farrah, one thrill beats them all.
It's the thrill of the win. I've been there when the worry is real, when the bills pile up, when the pain doesn't quit, and getting the call that says, we came through for you. That's huge. It's about seeing that weight lift, helping folks walk out better than when they walked in. Yeah, we're built for that.
Call Farrah & Farrah, Jacksonville.
Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in today. Always a great honor to do so. You can find Todd at toddstarnes.com. His great books, everything that he said. I love his last book that he came out with. I just finished reading mine, and it's fantastic. Really love that one. If you want to find my information, you can at HoosierReason.com, HooserReason.com. And you can check out my information. So the Asia tour that Donald Trump's doing, is there any significance to it? What does it mean for you and I? Andy, what's it really matter? Why is he doing an Asia tour? Chuck Schumer says that really it's nothing. We don't care, that he doesn't care about the government shutdown and just going around and just wasted a bunch of time traveling to different nations in Asia. That's not true. Where do we get, and I'm going to ask the team here, where do we get the majority of products that are made overseas? China, Vietnam, Korea, Japan. I don't know. The majority of some of the cheap products and resources that we get come from that region. Wouldn't it be ideal during a time of trade, economic boom, trying to make a trade benefit and not a deficit, that we would actually talk to these nations and do what we can to solidify and deepen our relationships with them? In fact, the company in NVIDIA, if you don't know what NVIDIA is, a company that makes the majority of computer chips for you and I, the computer that you use on a regular basis, usually has something NVIDIA in it, and for the most part has the majority of their products being built overseas, announcing they're actually making manufacturing plants now here in the United States, not having to rely on a nation like China to bring us our computer chips, which is kind of weird to me.
All President Trump has ever talked to me about is helping America win. He wants America to win here. He wants America to win all over the world. He wants the world to be using American technology. He wants America to be rich. Almost everything that he talks to me about is somewhere in those pillars of conversation. Manufacturing, leadership in AI, exporting technology, making America rich. All of that is 100% of our conversation.
Yeah, that sounds that, by the way, the CEO of NVIDIA. And yeah, we're going to reinvest in the United States. We're going to make computer chips here. I always find it fascinating that we're so concerned about China collecting our data with like TikTok. I have a TikTok account. I don't know if Todd has a TikTok account. I know many people don't like TikTok because of ByteDance, the Chinese government collecting our data. Understand that. I also think that it's a little silly to be concerned about that and not be concerned about our own government collecting our data at a way larger rate, especially with the prior administration that said if you vote a particular way, you are considered a domestic terrorist in this nation. That's kind of weird to me. And then trying to track and say, well, you're conservative, so you shouldn't have any social media accounts. We're going to change your algorithm and probably not allow you to purchase certain things from your bank account because we're going to monitor your bank account as a domestic terrorist in this nation. That's kind of strange. So, I mean, usually big government here, bigger threat to me than China collecting data of what I see and the algorithm that they want to try and push certain products on me. That's not really a big concern, but yet we don't talk about every computerized piece of equipment, every computer, every electronic toy, every toy, everything that we buy out of certain large big box stores around the nation that come from the nation of China. Yeah, totally fine. I'm not okay with that. And manufacturing starting to come back. This tour that Donald Trump just did in Asia has been to say, hey, we know we're starting to take jobs away from you. We know we're starting to take money away from you with manufacturing that's coming back to the United States, and we're not outsourcing to you any longer. We know that's happening. Let's find other ways to work on certain issues. Let's deepen our trade in other ways. You can buy some of our products. We'll buy some of your products. We'll still do some things with you. But that's what Donald Trump's doing, making sure they're not upset that soon we're not going to rely on all of their, you know, making 12-year-old kids work for a pack of cigarettes a day in order for us to have something really, really cheap. That's not going to happen any longer. Things are changing. And the globalization that we had seen under Bush Sr. in the early 1990s is going to the wayside. We're starting to see America first, manufacturing in America with what we can, and then deepen our relationships with other nations in a different way. An entire transition, a fundamental change compared to what we've seen in D.C. for a long time. Good idea, bad idea, and where else could we be seeing that trade deepen? We'll do that when we come back here for the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio show for the midweek celebration. A Wednesday today. Todd Starnes out today. I know, partying a little bit too hard after the birthday yesterday. Now, happy birthday, Todd Starnes, and deserve a well-deserved day off. My name's Andy Hoosier, filling in for Todd today on a Wednesday. As we were talking about some of the Asia tour, why does it matter, and is it really that big of a deal? To me, it is, at least. I think that it's a huge deal. In fact, I just saw, really, as we just went into the break, and we were just talking about this before we went into that break, that South Korea, outside of giving him a foot-tall golden crown, which is going to just make them so angry, they are going to lose their minds, man, going crazy. But, the big news now, South Korea has announced that they will be purchasing 36 billion, with a B, in Boeing jets built in the U.S. of A., creating 135,000 U.S. jobs, along with 3,000 more for the state of Ohio, this one according to the headline. They're also buying 3.3 million tons of gasoline made in the U.S. of A. per year with this trade agreement. So tell me how, according to Chuck Schumer, that this was a nothing burger, Donald Trump doesn't care, he's just trying to go out there and get a crown while we're struggling with the government shutdown. Tell me how all that's true when we just ordered $36 billion in Boeing jets and 135,000 new jobs, along with 3.3 million tons of gasoline made in the U.S. of A. each and every year going to South Korea alone. Sounds to me like that's a big victory. Now, there's another nation that's been in the news recently. And again, why does this matter? Well, as you know, inflation's been going down. We're getting better. In fact, the month-over-month inflation rates were at 0.4%. on a month-to-month basis from September to October. That's compared to 2 years ago when Joe Biden was in office, and inflation rates from September to October 2 years ago were at like 7%. So I'll take the 0.4%. That's good news to me. That's another big victory for Donald Trump. Well done. We did it, my friends, right?
We did it. Yay!
that's the win that we're seeing under Donald Trump with the economy right now. However, there are still some higher prices, and a lot of them in the grocery store. One of them being meat, and that red meat, and that steak, and that ground beef. That price is still just a little bit too high. And I tell you what, there are some angry farmers at Donald Trump right now, at least according to the mainstream media. Now, I ask you the question at 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. The story that broke about, I don't know, a few days ago, that ties right into the trade, right into the economy, right into stuff being made here in the U.S. of A. and in America first with this agenda. Did the announcement of us buying beef from Argentina be an issue with you? Was that a concern for you at all? And I know you probably have a lot of farmers and even some ranchers out there and cattle ranchers that are listening to the Todd Starnes radio program right now. So I ask you directly, was that an issue for you? Or has it been blown out of proportion like every other story, the hyperbolic paranoia from the mainstream media to make us upset? To get into that, we need to understand that right now we're building a really, really good relationship with the nation of Argentina. And in fact, Argentina just had their election over this past weekend where our good friend Javier Milei ended up winning in a landslide. Conservative populist. He's the dude with the crazy hair and like the 1970s sideburns that is down there. He's the one that during CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference last year, he showed up when Elon Musk was on stage and gave him a chainsaw. Like, because this is the chainsaw for democracy. Remember that whole thing with Elon Musk? Yeah, that was hilarious. Javier Milei was the one that came out and gave him that. He's a hardcore capitalist. He is a hardcore limited government kind of guy and free market advocate, and he's been able to start turning Argentina around. Now, he won in a landslide for his race, but not only did he win, but also his party as a whole ended up winning. The right-wing populist conservative movement in Argentina, where the parliament, his party jumped 172% in their parliament, going from 37 seats to 101 seats, and their Senate jumping 233% from 6 seats to 20 seats. One of the largest landslide victories that we've seen in the political landscape of the history of Argentina, a massive win for them. So what does it mean for the relationship with the United States? Well, the United States works well with Argentina, but we heard the announcement just recently of Donald Trump wanting to buy beef from Argentina. And we started looking like, hey, is this like a you rub my back, I rub your back kind of situation? What's going on with buying beef when American farmers are right here? We're trying to get the agricultural community back on track. What are you doing? But there's a catch. And the catch is the fact that right now we don't buy a whole lot of beef from Argentina. At all. Like, we buy 40 million tons of beef from Argentina a year, which is a major drop in the bucket. Donald Trump's plan, if he even goes through with it, is going to double that from 40 million pounds of meat to 80 million pounds of meat from Argentina, which, again, sounds like a lot. Major drop in the bucket. In fact, if we bought every bit of beef in the nation of Argentina, which is a growing industry for beef farmers down there, ranchers. But if we bought every bit of excess meat that they don't consume themselves and we buy it all up here, it would amount to 2% of all the meat that we consume here in the United States. 2%. If we bought everything from Argentina, that's, again, nothing. Complete drop in the bucket. So why the hysteria? Why the paranoia? You again have to go into the lens of the politics and understand the issue that the media is doing everything they can to start chipping away at the support from Donald Trump in multiple different demographics. The rural communities, the agricultural community, and the farming communities have been staunchly supportive of President Donald Trump, and they want to chip away at that any way that they can. And if they can say that Donald Trump's buying a whole bunch of beef from Argentina, and to hell with U.S. ranchers here, they're going to do it. And farmers bought it, and they fell for it, and they're really angry. In fact, just before I came on the program today to fill in for Todd, I was talking to, again, living here in Kansas, I talked to an auction house, an auction barn where they sell the cattle, where people buy the cattle left and right, and they turn them over to the slaughterhouses. I literally was talking with them just a couple hours ago, and he told me, like, we don't have a lot of auctions going on right now. There's a lot of farmers very upset with this, and they're holding on to their cattle. They're not selling them off right now, which is good and bad. It's bad because right now that just creates a higher demand with less on the market. So therefore, prices are going to go up for you and I, again, as the consumer. The good news, however, which no one seems to talk about, is that over the past 5 or 6 years, and you may not know this, there's been a drought. Things have been unreasonably hot across the nation. And because of that, a lot of farmers have sold off more of their cattle than usual because grass was not growing because of the drought. Grain was too expensive to feed to the cattle, so they just sold them off. And now we have herds that are way smaller than normal. And Donald Trump, in all of his wisdom, said, we're going to handle this on multiple different levels. We're going to buy a little bit more beef than in Argentina than what we usually do, which will help a little bit with the meat on the market for the consumer to lower that price down a little bit. It will help stabilize the economy in Argentina with the currency because they're buying more stuff from the U.S. currency, which is kind of the global standard. They're going to buy some things there, balance off the currency in Argentina, and it's going to give an opportunity for the farmers and the ranchers here in the U.S. to rebuild the herds that they've gotten thinned. And thinning herds for farmers and ranchers, which a lot of them are the mega ones, it doesn't really matter to them. But the mom and pops that have 20 cattle out back, not 20,000 cattle out back, that helps. That gives them the opportunity to rebuild that herd and not sell it off and run out or have a bad breeding season where they don't get as many calves or whatever the case is. It gives the farmer the opportunity to rebuild and reset for just a little bit that they're doing. And if that's the case, then why wouldn't we do something like that? It makes a lot of sense. Now, if you disagree, I want to hear from you. 901-260-5926. But Donald Trump not being the politician, Donald Trump not being the president, but just being a business guy, said this is going to help all around. Farmers here get to restock and rebuild their herds. We get to lower prices just a little bit for the consumer. And we get to help our friends over in Argentina who's desperately been under control of socialist tyranny for decades. For so long, are sick and tired of it. They're having a capitalist revolution right now. They're having a conservative populist revolution right now. And we're going to help them out by stabilizing their currency, stabilizing their economy, by injecting more U.S. dollars into their economy, by buying some of their beef. Like, it's a win-win-win-win-win for the Donald Trump administration. Are you tired of winning yet?
Winning?
I mean, to me, that would sound like a relatively good idea, but the media took it as well. Donald Trump said he was America first, and he's spitting on the main demographic that put him into office in the first place. Farmers, you should be very upset. And I ask you the question, did it work? Did the hysteria work, or are you still, I mean, I made my case for it, but are you still upset with him actually purchasing beef from Argentina? I would think that this is an opportunity for us to get back on track, and he didn't turn away from us. In fact, we just heard from the U.S. Department of Agriculture that while the government shut down, they're still keeping that side open, not for SNAP benefits, because that's going to be the whole paranoia here in a few days, but that's going to be the opportunity for processing farm loans, processing farm grants, with all the storms that may be coming through, actually having the crop insurance if the crops get destroyed. Even though most crops, I think, are out of the field right now. I don't know. I'm not a farmer. I'm not an expert on the issue, but I'm around a lot of farmers. Like, right now, we're helping the farmers the best we can. We're having programs partnering with the Department of Health and Human Services and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to try and say, hey, we're going to put clean food back in schools, clean food back on the shelves in the grocery stores. And that means less processed and chemicals and whatever else kind of garbage in the food, but actually using farmers and helping farmers get it from the field directly onto the plate with very minimal individuals that are the go in between to try and process it, ship it around the country, and make that happen. So we are moving in the right direction. I'm really excited, and farmers, hang tight. I don't know how you do it. I always say I don't know how farmers do it, but I'm excited to see what the future holds for American farmers. And no, we're not replacing you. We love you, and farmers, you're not going to go anywhere. You're going to be better off at the end of the day. Look at how many different trade deals have opened up for the Trump administration already by allowing you to export grains and meat to new markets. Australia is a prime example of that. Australia did not allow us to export our beef into the Australian market. We could get theirs, their whole Wagyu beef and all the big push there. I know that was a big push for a while. They've never allowed us, or at least since the 90s, have not allowed us to export our meat into the nation of Australia. Because at that time, there was some virus going through it, and we haven't allowed it, and they didn't want it going into their market, so they cut it off, and they never updated it. They never said, okay, that virus is done, now we can start buying your beef again. That's now open. The UK, we've never sold beef there before. We're now selling it to the United Kingdom. I say again, wins across the board. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. The issues that maybe aren't the sexiest, but really drive home for the average American. Your prices at the grocery store are going to get better. And it's because of Donald Trump, not because of Democrats, not because of the shutdown, not because of SNAP benefits, although it seems like there might be less people buying food this weekend with the SNAP benefits, so things could be kind of crazy at the grocery stores coming up as well. We'll get your thoughts on this when we come back around the corner. It is the Todd Starnes radio program. Stay here. Welcome back to it. Todd Starnes radio program. Andy Hoosier sitting in, 901-260-5926. Covered a lot of ground on different trade deals, bringing the U.S. economy back. Are we on the right track? Let's go to the phones here, shall we? And let's go to Moorhead City, North Carolina. Let's go to William. William, how are you, my friend?
Oh, better than I deserve. I hope you're well.
Absolutely. What's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've got a lot of buddies, and they're ranchers. And one of the things that people don't seem to, you always got to second guess our president, because he's clever. Yeah. I think he came through with something more, like everybody's saying, yeah, it sounds like win, win, win. It's more than just that. Because right now, look, we're a free country. So we're free to choose to buy whatever kind of beef we want to buy.
Sure.
And yeah, and our ranchers, our farmers, yeah, they're having it kind of hard. And so, yes, prices are going to go up. But as long as the USDA will get involved on this thing and you label everything, because people like to read the packaging on stuff, you know, and you just label it and say, this right here, 100% grain-fed, no hormones, no none of that mess. And you label up something from Argentina, or elsewhere for that matter, and
yeah.
just tell the truth. See, the thing is, a lot of, and the price, there is going to be a price difference. That's just all
sure.
there is to it. And there are a lot of people, and I don't blame them, they're free to do this because they're not afraid of stuff that has been injected with different stuff.
That's a great point. Well, I am so glad, William. Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned this because I totally forgot to talk about this as well. One of the bills that is being worked through right now and supported by the USDA and supported by the health department with RFK Jr. is not only are the USDA working to label made in America or USDA approved based on American beef, they're going a step further now, and they're also starting to talk about putting labels on about what state it's being produced in as well. So you can track it from the farm. You can track it to the processing plant because we know that that's a whole other issue as well with just a handful of companies that actually do all of our meat processing in the country. That's a whole other one. But they're going to put labels on there to know where it's been grown, where it's been processed, and where it's being sold. So you know the entire step of the way of where that beef actually came from.
That's why it is so very cool. It's been going on for a while now, but buy local. Know your local farmer.
That's
buy
right.
produce. You see what I'm saying? Buy produce. I mean, here we have a grocery store, and they are specifically, they target Carolina growers. And you go in that produce section, it's going to tell you if it was grown outside of 50-mile radius.
Yeah.
And that's good to know because you know that probably got in there about 4:30 this morning.
That's right. No, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. And let's admit it. We still have the best product in the world right now. We have the best beef. We can buy Argentina beef. That's cool. But again, they don't feed the beef like we do here. Their beef is leaner. It is not a steak quality. So you're not even going to buy Argentina steak. When you get Argentina beef, if you choose to buy that, it's ground beef. That's all you're going to be getting because they don't have the quality like we do. We still dominate on the steak front. We dominate on the quality of meat, and that's not going to change.
Right. And see, what I think the president was able to do here was at least tell them, okay, we're open to trading with you. However, and then here come the concessions. I think we made out way better.
You think so? We're going to come out way better in the end?
I have to believe so, because Argentina right now, they need us way more than, you know, we need them.
Sure.
And they do have things that we can't, that would be good. And we
yeah.
can start to establish trade.
Exactly.
Once we do that, it is wide open.
It's wide open for us to be able to get great products from them. And William, I appreciate that. You're absolutely right. I 100% agree with you. We are going to win and be on the better end of this way better than we imagine, because it's not just about the beef. Yeah, we throw them a bone. We buy some beef. It helps out our local farmers a little bit to rebuild the herds. We still have the top quality. We're not replacing that. We put the labels on there, which I'm so glad we see. I would love to see, you know what, because we have competition of where the best beef is. Is it Texas beef? Is it Kansas beef? Is it Nebraska beef? Is it, you know, Tennessee beef? Whatever it is where these farmers are, or in the Carolinas where you're at with North Carolina, that the beef is a big thing. And if you can see, hey, this was actually produced locally in my state, it was grown from the farmers locally in my state, it was produced in a manufacturing plant and a processing plant relatively close by, and it's on the shelf here in the grocery store, I know I'm getting top quality meat that's fresh, that's not been overly preserved, that's not full of chemicals and garbage. We're actually getting clean meat again, and I feel more comfortable than buying this, as opposed to, this came from Argentina. Do I want a little ground beef for my tacos tonight? Sure, I could probably do something like that, but you know what? I want that American-made stuff. And as a consumer, in a private market, in the capitalist system that we have, that's a beautiful system. I love that. You're right. It's going to help us across the board, because if Argentina can get on track and get themselves up through a capitalist system and get their economy cranking, that's not only going to give us more options to buy stuff, but it's also going to instill more capitalism in South America that we desperately need. Lots more coming up.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
It is the Todd Starnes radio program. It is not Todd Starnes, however. He is taking the day off. He is recovering from his party stuff and shenanigans he did for his birthday yesterday. I don't know. No, he's taking the day off. Well needed. Well deserved. The party animal he is. Now we love Todd. Todd, happy birthday to you. Happy belated birthday. Yesterday being his birthday, I was not aware of that. Happy belated birthday to you, Todd, and it's such an honor to fill in for him. As always, Andy Hoosier, we are moving the Liberty University studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship station, KQAM, and a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes radio show. We absolutely love him, and it's such an honor to jump in the seat here and fill in for him when he needs it. We have had a lot of fun today, man, covering a lot of ground. And interesting conversations about where the economy is going, the government shutdown, meat prices with that Argentina buy, and more. But we have a lot to get to this hour. 901-260-5926. 901-260-5926. I want your thoughts on all of these issues. But we are officially less than a week away. We are on the home stretch for some election season. And can you, well, some, at least a couple of the elections. But the big one. Where we could potentially see a socialist revolution takeover, Viva la Revolution, the Che Guevara movement, that could happen right in our homeland, that could happen right in the financial center of not only the nation, but of the world, with Zoran Mamdani, the openly advocated socialist that could become mayor of New York City. And that, to me, is kind of crazy.
Say what?
When did we get to the point where we have socialist revolutionaries in a large enough form to potentially take over the largest financial city of the entire world, the heartbeat of this nation? That's pretty wild, with Zoran Mamdani and that election coming up next week as we are on the home stretch, making his debut on different TV shows and talking outlets and all the puppets that are like, oh, you're so great, you're going to fight against the Trump administration or something. And that's what they're all about. He was on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart this week. I believe on Monday is when Stewart does it. I don't know. They have a different host like every day of the week when he's like semi-retired, but still coming back one day a week. And apparently was pretty happy with the guy.
I think any New Yorker who looks at someone getting an opportunity who's representing communities that have not been as represented, a Muslim, a young person, a progressive, a democratic socialist, you know, there are so many different communities
democratic
that are
socialist.
Looking to you. And this, I hate to put it on you, as a bit of a Jackie Robinson moment. And I know that that probably wields some weight. But man, oh, man. What an exciting opportunity.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best.
Thank you.
What are we talking about here? Is this like a whole other Kamala Harris? You're the first black person. You're the first woman person. You're the first Jamaican person. Which, again, Kamala Harris, not even black. She's Jamaican and Indian. So there's that. But she represents us. She doesn't. And it's funny. But Zoran Mamdani apparently now just hits all of the check marks for the progressive left socialist agenda of identity politics. It's not about the idea. It's not about the agenda. Although the socialists are absolutely loving him, the takeover of the Democrat Party to this radicalized movement, that's what they're all about now. He had a rally this past weekend, and the audio is a little weird on this one, so bear with me. But he had his rally and was, again, just playing into nothing more than the class warfare.
And now, as we stand on the precipice of taking this city back, from corrupt politicians and the billionaires that fund them.
The billionaire. Blah, 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 blah.
Let our words ring out so loud tonight that Andrew Cuomo can hear them in his $8,000 a month apartment.
I mean, that's the class warfare that he's doing. And he came out as the activist. He reminds me of the AOC, which is why AOC endorsed him. But it's the typical left-wing socialist young person that says a whole lot of stuff that sounds really good but doesn't know a word about what it actually means. I mean, he started his entire career almost like Barack Obama, right? I'm the community activist. I'm the community organizer is how Barack Obama started, became a state senator for 2 years, went into the U.S. Senate and was a U.S. senator for 92 days until he started running for president of the United States. Like, it was a fast track of you have zero experience and don't know anything of what you're doing. But at the same time, we just love you and you sound really good. So we're going to go ahead and vote you in because you don't know what you're saying, but you say things that sound really nice. And Mamdani's kind of the same way. He just came out of nowhere. Who is this guy? He's a socialist activist, I guess. So people are going to vote for him. According to the polls, now that we're just a week away, still dominating. The Poly Markets about a week ago showed he had about a 95% chance of winning. That's come down just a little bit, but still a dominant leader over Andrew Cuomo, where we've had Eric Adams drop out, endorse Cuomo, which they do not get along, so that had to say something. But even with that, Cuomo's trying to gain points, but still has a 20-point disadvantage over Zoran Mamdani, who's still dominating in these polls right now. So I ask you, 901-260-5926, are we seeing a socialist revolution in one of the largest cities in the financial heart of this country and the world that's going to devastate that place? And here's the bigger question, is do we need it? And what do I mean by that? I'm torn, and I'm not necessarily an advocate for this idea, but there's a lot of people that talk about it, maybe because it's like a coping mechanism for them. I'm not really sure. But do you think that we have to do this in order to remind the generations about how bad socialism is? The social experiment that we have to go through to show how bad it fails, to remind them about how bad socialism really is. I've heard that talking point from a lot of people. I don't buy into it. For those that don't know, I'm 37. I just turned 37 like a week ago. I am a millennial. And I apologize for my generation all the time, because my generation has really led to this socialist movement. That's why we have people like AOC out there trying to represent my generation. And I am sorry.
I am told this is a garbage disposal.
I mean, that is not the representation of my generation. And I apologize profusely for it. But here's the thing. Mamdani is part of that as well. And this is the socialist movement from my generation saying we're going to just overhaul everything. If we just speculatively, if we go down the road and we say, you know what, fine, let's do the social experiment, which, again, I think it's more of a coping mechanism of Republicans realizing that they really don't have a chance of stopping this from happening, so they just have to accept it, going through the process of, you know, trauma in the three stages of acceptance here, that they're like, fine, let's go through it, let's do the social experiment, and let's prove to the next generation that it's really, really bad. The problem with that theory is, at least to me, and maybe you disagree here, but the problem with that theory, to me at least, is if we do that, we never learn our lesson. We never learn the, oh my gosh, maybe we shouldn't do that again. Because what happens is Democrats, in their slyness that they have, in their smooth talking that they have, they always find a way to have an excuse. They always find a way to say, well, we weren't able to advocate for our agenda because we were stopped. We were slowed down. We had blocks in our way. The Republicans, the conservatives, the MAGA movement, the domestic terrorist side of the aisle, the ones that cling to their guns and their Bibles, they're the ones that obstructed our agenda, so we weren't actually able to implement it. If we just go a step further, then it'll work. If we just have purer socialism, then it'll work. But this whole quasi-socialism in a capitalist system and, you know, implementing socialism in a grander scale and Donald Trump cutting off our funding for government grants and federal subsidies and bailouts like we're dependent on because we're not going to be able to afford all of our socialist programs here, that if we just do all that, if we didn't have those obstructions, then our socialism plan would have worked. And in the meantime, while they play that victimhood status at the end of the day, the people of New York suffer. And the people that voted it in and the people that didn't vote it in have to go through this garbage. And we go through a good few years of devastation of the largest prosperous city on the face of the earth with New York City because people have to suffer through this kind of garbage of socialism. Now, here's the good news. I'm always the eternal optimist here. I always see the bright side. Is that really there? Obviously, he's not going to be a dictator in New York. He can't do everything that he wants to. He's not going to implement free housing. He's not going to implement free grocery stores. He's not going to be able to implement free buses without consent of the rest of the city council for the city of New York. You know, there are guardrails here. And in fact, New York's so big that even state legislators have to get on board with a lot of what they do in New York. So there are some checks and balances here. He's not going to be able to go just AWOL and do anything that he wants to. But it's the premise. And even moving slowly towards that direction is kind of insane. And maybe we do need the reminder for some, but we need to find a way to give the reminder of how bad socialism really is without actually making people suffer through it. Which I don't know how to make that happen. And maybe just not the largest city on the face of the earth to have to suffer through it, because that could devastate and have a ripple effect across the rest of the nation, could it not? So I ask you, is this something we have to go through? Is it something my generation, the millennials, need to experience to understand how bad it really is? Or will they ever actually learn the lesson of the movement of socialism. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. On the same front, while there's this growing frustration, the No Kings protest against Donald Trump, the socialist growth that we're seeing, this Viva la Revolution, this way that they're going to try and overhaul the system, are we starting to splinter on the Republican side? Getting ready for the show today, I saw this headline, MSN.com. And for all the religious and evangelical folk that listen to the Todd Starnes radio program, I ask you directly. Some evangelicals are, quote, quietly quitting Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. What? What is this? Evangelicals and Catholics uneasy with Donald Trump's rhetoric and immigration policies are subtly distancing themselves from MAGA and taking up and taking some congregation members with them. Is according to the headline, they see that there are many churches that are seeing, quote, a quiet quitting trend as pastors avoid political sermons and help members disengage from the Trump movement, saying, quote, we've gotten more testimonials. I'm starting to now see the leaving MAGA signs popping up on billboards, overpasses, and at No Kings protests as an individual who identifies as a Catholic and an ex-Trump supporter, with many leaving the MAGA movement. So I ask you, as the evangelicals, are you leaving the Trump agenda and are you leaving the Trump movement? And if we are seeing that movement walking away from Donald Trump, what does that mean for the future of MAGA? What does that mean for the future of the Republican Party? What does that mean for the future of the values that we're trying to reinstill back into society? I want to get your thoughts on that in just a minute. But I want to tell you about our friends over at AMAC. If you love this country and you're concerned about the direction that we're headed in, we got to tell you there's something that you can do about that. And that's how you can join AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. They are the conservative alternative to AARP, and they're standing up for the values that build this nation, which are faith, family, freedom, and common sense. AMAC members get some great benefits, including deeper discounts on travel, discounts on insurance, prescription drugs, and more, along with exclusive member resources and a subscription to the AMAC magazine, one of the best publications for patriotic Americans. And the best part about all this is that you can join for as little as $1.20 a month with a 5-year membership. Here's what you do. Go to AMAC.us, that's AMAC.us/Starnes, and join the fight to keep America strong. AMAC.us/Starnes. Keep the fight going. Keep America strong with our friends over at AMAC. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. Welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes radio show. Andy Hoosier sitting in for the great Todd Starnes today for a Wednesday. So two things on the table for you right now. Zoran Mamdani, what's the future of New York look like with the socialist revolution of New York City? And of course, are you, as the evangelical, are you walking away from the Trump administration? As I was scrolling through the social media over the break, I saw a post, and I love how the Democrats always love to post these random things like, I'm a Republican and I'm voting for the Democrat this time because I like their policies, which makes me reaffirm that you probably weren't a Republican in the first place, or you didn't know what you were voting for as a Republican when you were there originally. There's a guy allegedly that has a MAGA hat on that says MAGA for Mom Donnie. I know, right? That's a, yeah. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but apparently this guy says he's a 55-year-old man wearing a MAGA for Mom Donnie gear hat that says he voted for Trump twice, but is now making a switch and is voting for Mom Donnie, saying, quote, this is the first time I'm voting for a Democrat. I like his policies. Now, again, maybe you can do that if you want to, I guess.
I'm special.
I mean, I guess that would make sense if you want to completely just overhaul the system. But how do you go from being, I want limited government, I want non-Democrat values, I don't want Joe Biden, I don't want Barack Obama, to, yeah, you know what? Zoran Mamdani sounds pretty good. I like free grocery stores. I like having the property taxes pawn off to the rural communities and the subdivisions of a bunch of white people paying off the property tax. I like having free busing across the city right now. I like banning billionaires. That sounds great. While I voted for Donald Trump, who's a multimillionaire and a business mongol from New York City. Does that make any sense at all? I'm calling malarkey on that one. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Kind of absurd on that one. Right, Bernie Sanders? I mean, you would agree, right?
It is totally absurd.
Totally absurd, absolutely. 901-260-5926, 901-260-5926. As a person of faith, are you concerned in walking away from the Trump administration from some of the policies and the heartlessness that he has proposed with the immigration that we're seeing right now, the zero illegal border crossings in this nation, the deportation of cartel and gang members in this nation, and the non-tolerance of criminal violent offenders that have been in the streets for a long time. Is that heartless, and is it stripping families away from their children, and is it the non-Christian thing to do, and are Christian faith-led individuals walking away from that Trump movement? That's an interesting perspective. By the way, there is some interesting news that just broke on Fox a few minutes ago, according to Fox News, that there has been a raid in L.A. in California, nabbing two anti-ICE activists as the federal agents, ended up arresting the two anti-ICE protesters that allegedly were the ones that damaged a vehicle that belonged to the immigration agents when they raided a pot farm over the summer near Los Angeles. As they say, the pre-dawn raid happened earlier this morning, targeting two anti-ICE activists with who federal authorities say pleaded played the lead role in the distribution of a viral video that showed the activists bottlenecking immigration agents' cars and then violently smashing their windows during the raid on a pot farm of the illegal aliens and the criminals that were working or hiding out at that establishment. And now they have been arrested. And watching the video, it looks like they definitely raided that pot farm a while back for the marijuana. But at the same time, now they've arrested these two anti-ICE individuals. That's only going to raise the question of how angry some of these anti-ICE protesters are going to be. Now, they've already been violent. They've already vandalized ICE facilities across the nation, and they've already made threats to ICE agents overall. So is this going to spur yet another outcry of no kings and people going after ICE agents because they find them as the Nazis that are walking the streets of America? But the raid happening this morning and arresting multiple individuals that have been violent against Donald Trump. Look, I mean, if you vandalize federal vehicles or vandalize federal buildings, then obviously you're going to be arrested. That's, you know, kind of just common sense, right? You're going to be arrested for that. The people that vandalize, I know where you're going with the Democrats. You're going to, what about January 6th? Yeah, you know what? The people that vandalize things need to be punished for that. Now, if you're getting a tour through the congressional halls from law enforcement, then you probably shouldn't be arrested and punished for, you know, being there and actually walking through a tour. But if you're breaking and shattering the windows, if you're stealing things, then yeah, you got to be punished for something like that. That's not acceptable behavior, and Republicans hold a higher standard for that. So what's this going to lead to? Could we see some more violence coming out of the other side of the aisle now that we've started arresting anti-ICE protesters that have caused havoc and going after as being the wicked, wild freedom fighters that they say that they are, defending democracy and promoting socialism? And why you can use those terms together in the same sentence, I'm not quite sure, but by golly, they figure out a way to do it. Andy Hoosier sitting in for the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We got lots more coming up. Stay right here. All right, welcome back to it. It is the Todd Starnes Radio Program, toddstarnes.com. Todd Starnes is out today. I know it, you party animal. No, he's celebrating or just out for the day. And don't worry, we got it covered. Andy Hoosier sitting in, moving the Liberty University studios out here to Wichita, Kansas, my flagship KQAM, Wichita's Big Talker, a great affiliate of the Todd Starnes Radio Show. If you want information about me, you can find it at HoosierReason.com. That's HOOSERReason.com. It's my website. Todd Starnes, obviously, at toddstarnes.com with all of his books and his podcasts and his radio stuff and everything he's doing, because he is a busy, busy guy. Also, with his Newsmax TV show, which he is absolutely rocking it and killing it. So congratulations on that, my friend. Way cool. Way cool. Love it. All right, we are on the home stretch here. We have the election next week, which I am honestly concerned about. We have the crazies taking over New York, and not just Mom Donnie, but when you have to say you're not crazy, then what does that tell you? It's kind of like the guy that you meet on the side of the street and they're like, I've solved the issues and the reason of the universe and I'm not crazy, believe me. That's what kind of happened during this rally over the weekend with Mom Donnie and the others.
But we must remember, in a time such as this, we are not the crazy ones, yeah. New York City.
Sure. Yeah, you do that, AOC.
We are not the outlandish ones, New York City.
Yeah.
They want us to think we are crazy. We are sane.
That's the person that you see in their basement with the strings attached with all the conspiracy. I've solved the issue and I'm not crazy. I promise you. You believe me, don't you? Right? Right? Yeah, we did it. We've solved the issues of the day. We're big kids now.
I'm a big kid now.
AOC, you are definitely the endless opportunity for poking fun of, because that is the state of the Democrat Party right now. And that's why we're seeing this government shutdown, right? Chuck Schumer, concerned about his position being taken over by AOC. There was a poll that shows the potential presidential preferences for 2028. Kamala Harris is still at the top of that, which...
Say what?
Actually, she's up by like 20 points right now. And the ticket that she has chosen, potentially, theoretically, is Kamala Harris in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, that's the ticket that we could see for the presidential race in 2028. And Kamala Harris obviously still doing her book tour, saying that she has been the most qualified presidential candidate to ever exist, which she openly said while she was doing these interviews, and now choosing AOC. If that's the state of the Democrat Party, bring it on, baby. Bring it on, because it's going to be a lot of fun to watch that one play out. All right, we are a few minutes away to wrapping this thing up. And we are just a few days away. I know I won't be on, obviously. Todd will be back here tomorrow. So I won't be back on for Halloween. So I have to tell you, happy Halloween if you celebrate Halloween or any fashion of it, the trick-or-treating or the fun festivities or whatever you do, the beginning of the trifecta of the holiday season with Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and then we do New Year's and hit the reset button and start it all over again. So there's a significance to the Halloween celebration or the All Saints Day on Saturday, November 1st afterwards. But I think this is the prime opportunity, and Dylan, come on here with just a moment with me, because you and I were talking off the air just a little bit about the interest of what's going on right now. This could be the most significant Halloween celebration that we've ever seen, with the ongoing concern about Three Eye Atlas. Have you been following some of this?
Yeah, it's kind of scary and kind of fascinating at the same time.
All right, so those that do not know, has Todd talked about this at all on the air?
I do not think so, no.
Okay, all right. For those that do not know what Three Eye Atlas is, I'm going to give you a quick summation before we do our speculation. Three Eye Atlas is a major asteroid that is working its way not towards Earth. We're not going to get hit or anything. It's not like another doomsday thing. But it's got very odd behavior that a lot of people are paying attention to. It is called Three Eye Atlas because it is number three. It is the third interstellar, if you want to call it that. It's the third object that we've ever discovered that is from outside of our solar system. So, you know, the fact that, hey, there's something from outside our little ring and our little corner of the universe, something that's come in here. What the heck is this thing? Three Eye Atlas is about the size of New York City or Manhattan. It is massive. And the fact that this is now hurling towards us is really interesting. And why this is weird is it's shown a lot of different, and again, I'll give you a quick summation from the scientists. I'm no scientist, so bear with me here. But they've talked about how it's moving at a really rapid pace that we're not used to seeing, or at least the speed, at like 150,000 miles an hour. It's a little bit faster than normally asteroids would be flying, especially at that size. The way that we've taken pictures of this, the light is reflecting a little bit differently. Normally, as an asteroid or a comet, that you would have a trail of dust and particles behind it that would light up. But instead, it's in front of it. So it's lighting up in the front of this thing instead of behind it. A little weird. The trajectory of it is like in perfect sequence to go through the entire solar system and to be close to every single planet in our solar system. And the theory is that if it is run by intelligence of some sort, aliens or others, if they were doing a tour through our solar system to study it, this would be literally the perfect trajectory for it. There would not be a better pathway at the perfect time to go by every single planet and observe it as it goes by.
They want that's us weird. To see him coming.
They want, yeah, that's want the thing. So they want to see us coming. So here's the question I posed for the last little bit of time we have it. 901-260-5926. Have you been paying attention to Three Eye Atlas? And do you think it is something more than just an asteroid? Right now, today on Wednesday, it is on the opposite side of the sun from us. So we can't see it right now. And according to Dr. Michio Kaku, Dylan, do you know who that is, Dr. Michio Kaku?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, he is known as one of like the top 10 smartest people on the face of the Earth. He's a brilliant guy. He's an astrophysicist. He's a theoretical physicist. He also hosts another radio show and a podcast called Science Fantastic. I have been a fan of him for a very long time, and he breaks down like the most complicated scientific ideas to the layman's term to where we can understand it. Super cool dude. I believe from Japan originally, but you,
what,
what
does he think this is?
So he says it all hinges on the way that the asteroid acts after it goes around the sun and we see it tomorrow.
Wow.
That's going to be the determining factor.
What a Halloween gift.
I know, that's the thing. Like, this is the weirdest Halloween ever because this is going to be the signature moment. He has admitted that it has very weird properties to it. It has a metal makeup based on the reflection of what they've been able to study and the light pattern that it has. That it has a weird metal makeup that we don't normally see in space. The lights on the front of it instead of behind it, the size of it, the trajectory. He admits all of it is very, very weird. He says that it will be the determining moment to know what this is once it comes out around the other side of the sun from us tomorrow. And he says if it speeds up, then it has to have some sort of propulsion device to actually get out of the gravitational pull of the sun, and therefore it would be guided by some type of intelligence or alien.
Oh my gosh.
That's what he says. If it slows down, because obviously if it's going so close to the sun, it's probably going to burn up a lot of its ice and gases and everything, and it's going to get smaller. And if it slows down because of the gravitational pull of the sun, then it's going to be a normal asteroid. It's just a rock, and we'll be able to see it and kind of guess on where it's going to go. Not anywhere near us. It's not going to hit us, but we can at least observe it. But if it speeds up and lassos around the sun, there's only one option for that, which is some type of propulsion device to actually shoot itself like a lasso around the sun, and we're going to see what that does tomorrow. So tomorrow is the determining factor.
Is it kind of weird that I kind of want it to speed up?
I know, right? I've been waiting for this moment for a very long time to see this and finally happen. And again, with everything, it could not have chosen a better path to observe every single thing that we have going on in our solar system and for it to observe it. So this could very well be the welcome. Here's even the crazier part. Have you heard of the WOW signal?
Oh, yes.
Okay. And again, those that don't know, the WOW signal was a transmission that was 72 seconds long that came in a satellite in Ohio, like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And it was a 72-second transmission of a code that we were able to break that supposedly says something of, we're headed your way. Don't worry, friends. Don't be scared. We're here to, like, you know, welcome ourselves or to greet you or to something, whatever. It was this whole transmission of, like, it sounded like an ET race that was saying, hey, we're headed towards you, Earth. Get ready, and we're going to be your BFFs. That's what this WOW signal was. The WOW signal came from the exact same direction and the pinpointed location of where this asteroid originally came from.
They're back. They're back.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Hey, at least they're friendly if that's the case.
If that is the case, they supposedly are friendly.
Oh, nice.
And they're going to be welcoming us into, I don't know, the Galactic Federation or something. There's a theory out there about that. So now there's all, and again, don't buy into a lot of the speculation on social media. There's people that say that, you know, they're good aliens and they're coming to greet us, or they're bad aliens and they're reptilians coming to, like, take over Earth or whatever. Like, we don't know, but fun to speculate. And if the WOW signal that came out 10 years ago warning us that we were coming, and that was pinpointed the same location where this asteroid came from, that the coincidences can only add up for so long before you're like, huh, maybe there's something to this. I don't know. Dylan, do you think it is?
All this stuff is just making me, you know, wonder. And I kind of want it to happen because, you know, it's kind of boring. News can get boring. So this can really ramp up everything. And if they're friendly, you know, maybe we get some more friends.
Here's the ultimate conspiracy on this. We've talked about the government shutdown a lot, right? We're in day number 29. NASA is shut down. We not only have satellites that are not taking photos of it here on the U.S. because of NASA, other countries are, other private telescopes are, but we have satellites in Mars that could take photos of this thing really, really closely and understand it, even if it's just a rock, to understand an interstellar object that actually came from outside of our solar system, that we could actually study and learn a lot more of things that are outside of our realm of understanding here. Those satellites are not taking pictures of it, supposedly, because of the government shutdown right now, even while it's on Mars. And it's going to get way closer to Mars than it's going to be to us, and we could learn a lot from this thing. Now, I could be wrong here. We're supposedly not taking photos of it with our satellites that are on Mars right now because of the government shutdown. Tell me how that could not be planned more better if this is something more than just a rock of the deep state, the elitists, the ETs that are running the planet. I don't know, whatever you'd like to, you know, fantasize about, that they don't want us to learn more about it. So we shut down the government right at the time it's passing by for us to not study it.
We need a big donor to fund NASA for like a day.
Just open to open it
back up and let's see what's happening up there.
Open those babies back up. I'm telling you, look, if you just have a couple little things like, oh, that's interesting, that's a little odd, but all right, whatever. With so many coincidences that are happening right now, at some point you just have to say, this is a little weird.
Yeah.
This is strange, and this is going on. So your thoughts, 901-260-5926. Are we alone in the universe, and is this 3I Atlas, this massive asteroid the size of Manhattan, that is about ready to go by, that's whipping around the sun as we speak right now, is this a rock or is this something more? I'd love to get your thoughts on this. It's going to be an interesting conversation moving forward for sure. I want to tell you about some more of our friends here as we get ready to wrap up the program with MyPillow. MyPillow has been a great partner with us here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we're excited to announce again they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal. You're not going to find specials like this anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, $29.88. Any color, any style, any size, even the king size for $29.88. That's awesome. Regularly priced at $119.98, and they're only $29.88 right now. And you got to get them while they're getting, because they're going to be gone relatively soon. My towels, finally back in stock, but they're not going to be for long with these deals. Get a 6-piece of the My Towel set regularly at $69.98. Price now, $39.98. And for the first time and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with the Giza cotton and the designer Guess It with the queens at $17.98, kings at $19.98. And I know the sale just keeps getting better, right? For a limited time, when you over $100, you're going to receive free shipping plus a $100 in free digital gifts. I don't know how you could buy get deals like this anywhere else. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506, 800-839-8506, and use the promo code STARNS, and use your promo code for the best offers ever with MyPillow. Quantities are really limited, so you have to order now. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. Back after this here on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. All right, welcome back to Todd Starnes Radio Program. Last couple of minutes of the show. We appreciate you hanging out with us throughout the day today. Andy Hoosier filling in for the great Todd Starnes as we talk about 3I Atlas, the asteroid coming in. Could we see some shifts there? That was kind of an interesting conversation for sure. Dylan, I'm telling you, man, I think that we're about to, maybe we could see finally the disclosure. Finally have some ET connection and conversation, right? You up for it?
I'm definitely up for it. Got a phone home.
There we go. Got a phone home, baby. It's what it's all about. Although, and here's where we tie it back into politics. There is the theory, and I warn you very closely, there is the operation called Operation Blue Beam. Have you heard of this one?
I have not yet.
Okay. No, you haven't. Interesting. Ooh. All right. Operation Blue Beam. This was an operation that came public. It was classified. Got either leaked or declassified or something. Operation Blue Beam is the operation that could be the massive technology the government has that we do not have to fake an alien invasion or the second coming of Jesus by holographic technology in the sky to impose some type of global control, martial law, impose something crazy like that. And honestly, with the way that they handled COVID, right, and tried to release the virus and the whole COVID lockdown during Trump because they didn't like his agenda then, wouldn't surprise me that they would try something like that again. In Operation Blue Beam is the fact that they would fake an alien invasion, that they would fake the coming of Christ again, and make everybody go into hysterics and then lock it down, impose martial law, and impose a global governance. And I mean, honestly, the way they hate Donald Trump, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried that.
That's crazy to think about.
I know, right? That really blows your mind. Yeah, look up Operation, study some Operation Blue Beam. That's, again, Andy's crazy. He's gone off the deep end. You need to get him off the air. I tell you, it's interesting, and while this could be some real stuff with the asteroid and 3I Atlas, this could also be a false flag and the triggering of Operation Blue Beam. I don't know. Makes you think. 901-260-5926 if you want to comment on that. Real quickly, there is speaking right now as we speak. Jerome Powell with the Federal Reserve has announced that they will be again lowering interest rates in this nation, cutting interest rates with concerns about growth of the job market. This is absolutely hysterical and completely hypocritical for Jerome Powell and the Fed right now, where they lower these interest rates because for the longest time, when Donald Trump's been calling for that for a long time, hey, since he got into office, cut interest rates, please. Can we please cut interest rates? We're trying to lower inflation. Can you cut interest rates? They haven't done it, didn't want to do it, until now we got to the point where we've seen the job growth not quite where it needs to be, largely because of these high interest rates. But the announcement happening as we speak right now with Jerome Powell making that announcement that they are cutting these interest rates to try and help that job market. We are going into the fall season, and that means holiday season. That means temporary seasonal jobs, and that means trying to have people spend a lot of cash that they're banking on for that fourth quarter for a lot of businesses. And the economy's doing well. We're slowly, again, getting itself back on track, but we need to have job growth, and we need to have really the federal government just to get the hell out of our way, right? I mean, at some point, and there's another, I guess, theory out there of the tariffs, that if we get enough revenue coming in with tariffs, and if we balance out these trade deals, we could end the Fed. How awesome would that be? We just don't need you anymore. You don't need to set interest rates for us. Thank you very much. We're going to set our own interest rates, and we're going to figure out our own economy. And I would be okay with that as well. But if we do see these interest rates being cut a second time under the Trump administration now, that's only going to help spur some economic growth. We could see ourselves coming out of whatever delusion that we were under for the Biden administration on a bad economy, and we could start getting things back on track again, making America strong again and financially healthy again. Thank you, Republicans. Thank you, Donald Trump. And thank you, Todd Sarnes, for allowing me to sit in for the microphone today. It is the Todd Sarnes radio program.